Hi, welcome back to Cycling Talk Podcast with me, Georgia Mahoney. I'm back with season 4 and more amazing guests. Thanks to everyone who supports the podcast and listens all over the world. It's amazing to know that the podcast has reached more than 100 countries, including India, Japan, South Africa, and Argentina. A huge thanks to the companies who support me and my podcast, More Large, Form Bikes, Lake Cycling, Alpina Sports, Feedback Sports, Fairly Skin, and Big Bobble Hats. I'm on social media. It would mean so much to me if you'd give me a follow on Instagram and the GCN app. This weekend is the British Cyclocross National Championships in Milnthorpe, and I'm joined by elite rider for Team Spectra, Zan Kreese. You can watch Zan in action this Sunday on the GCN app. Thank you for joining me today, Zan.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really happy to be a part of your podcast.
What's your first memory of being on a bike?
So I don't know if it's a memory or more I've seen photos and been reminded of it, but there's a place called Carsington Water up in like Derbyshire. And there's a picture of me with like little knee pads on and elbow pads on, riding like a tiny little bike. And I think that's probably from seeing the photo what I remember the first time.
What's the first bike you remember being really excited about?
So when I was, I want to say 12, I like had just started to get into cycling. I think the Olympics was like coming, like the Olympics had just happened in 2012 because I turned 12 as the year goes. And I'd watched the Olympics and wanted to do a bit more cycling. So I was like saved up money from doing chores, got a bit of money at Christmas and bought a specialized road bike that was black and purple. And I absolutely loved it. And I actually still have it in the attic because I couldn't get rid of it.
Did you ride a lot with your family growing up?
So we did like the odd family bike ride, but cycling wasn't necessarily the biggest, like we were just quite an active family. So we did a lot of sports. My dad then did some mountain bike races, 24-hour mountain bike races, which we went to as a family. And I think that's when I started to pick up a love for cycling.
Do you remember your first race?
Yes. It depends whether you want to go for proper races or like the British Cycling have a go ride system or go race system, yeah. Which like, so like little local cycling clubs would join up and have these very mini races. I mean, like the kind of ones where everyone gets a medal for taking part. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets a goodie bag. So that was like one of my first ones in 2013 at the start of the year. I did one of those. Back in the day when I was like, I think I was 13. So at that point in these races, the girls and boys raced together and podiumed against each other. So there wasn't a girls' podium. So I was like very competitive and having to like fight the boys to try and get on the podium.
I understand that you didn't just do cycling growing up and you said you're a sporty family. What other sports did you do?
Yeah, so as a child, my parents were very big on making sure me and my sister did like a lot of sports. So like they made sure we got swimming lessons done. We tried lots of different things. So my sister played tennis. I did martial arts as well because my parents thought self-defense was important. Then I went on to actually compete in that as well because I really loved it. And through like secondary school, I did like sports at the school to compete against other schools. So I did like netball, hockey, a bit of tag rugby. So it was there. That was really fun.
Do you remember your first national race?
Yes. Funnily enough, it was at Derby, which is my local national trophy. It's because my dad knew the guy who organised it, who then later became my coach, funny story. And he was like, encouraged my dad to enter me and let me go. So then I did Derby again, absolutely loved it. I was way, way back down on the field because I think I had one bike. And as everyone knows, at cyclocross, you really need two bikes to be competitive. But I absolutely loved it. It was super muddy and a lot of fun.
So you did quite a bit of riding for your region in mountain biking and other disciplines as a youth. Can you tell me about this?
Yeah, so back when I was younger, we actually had interregional cyclocross races, which we don't have anymore. I don't think we have anymore. I've not seen them for years. But like about November time, they'd like select four riders. So in the youth, it was four riders. I think it was the same for the elite categories as well. They have four riders of each gender. And you'd have this interregional race, which was really cool. It's like you got all like people from different regions, kind of made like a like team environment from the riders that you racing week in, week out. I did that quite a few years. I think we came second or third in the first year that I did it. And then I know in the second year we did it, the East Midlands region one, which was really cool. And then I did in the interregional mountain bike races as a youth as well. I did it once, mainly because I was friends with one of the people who was organising the team, and East Midlands just didn't have enough female mountain bikers. And at this point, I was doing a lot more road across and did like a small amount of mountain biking, but more for fun. And they basically turned around to me and went, "We don't have enough women. Would you be able to do it?" And I was like, "Yeah, why not?"
So when did you join Impella?
So technically, I think I joined at the start of the 2015 cyclocross season. I'd actually been training with them a little bit for the summer beforehand, and what the guy who owns the team, John Holmes, had actually started coaching me at this point with the plan I'd eventually join. But I wasn't sure whether I wanted to join as a youth still, because I didn't know if that was too much pressure for me to take. But once I joined, like, it was such a nice environment. I was like, this is definitely the right thing, and I was really glad that I did it.
Can you tell me about your first national podium?
I don't know what my first national podium was, because my first technical national podium was as part of the series. As a youth, I came third overall in the series, but didn't actually podium at a single round.
When was your first international race?
So my first international race, I was taken, I want to say 2018 by my, actually no, it was 2017. My coach decided that we'd go watch a big international race. So I think we went to go watch the Boom race, which I have raced again since. And then on the other day, we went to go do a smaller local race. So we're racing like foreign riders, and there was actually, I think, a Hungarian rider and a Netherlands rider. We were in Belgium, and there was Hungarian, Belgian and Netherlands riders. And then there was me and my friend who were British who did it. So it was kind of an international field, despite being technically the same as like a British local league race. But that was really cool, because even local races in Belgium, people pay to watch them. So it was just such a cool atmosphere to go to and be like, oh, wow.
Did you find that the level was a lot better internationally?
Think so. So I think at that kind of level, it's a little bit similar. It's probably like when I went, it was a little bit stronger when you'd race at like a local level field. But as soon as then you went to an international field, you were like, wow, this level's so much stronger, because you suddenly got the best from all these different countries coming, or people who might be full time racing each other. And you're like, okay, this is a lot bit better.
When you moved up to junior, you got some podiums at a national level and then started to race some national track as well with Impella. How did the team support you throughout the years you were with them?
So I think Impella was one of like the most supportive environments you could go to. So when I first went over, it was mostly a team of veteran women. So the people who were a lot older than me had a lot of experience. And despite the fact I was like 16 years old, they were really welcoming. They like taught me a lot. They're really willing to like let me get involved in my training sessions. And the team manager was really supportive as well. He very much encouraged doing lots of different disciplines. So he supported track, took a team of us to track national champs to try and give us the experience of doing that. Would then also support adventures on the road. So he'd try and get us to all go to the same race so we could have a bit of team tactics and at least have each other in the race, even if we couldn't do something as a team, to like have that support there. So yeah, they were just really supportive, and it was like a very great family kind of friendly environment. But we did a lot of social things together. We'd have team rides, team camps, but it was all very low key and low pressure.
When you were a junior racing at national level, that was before they changed the format for junior women to have a separate race. Do you think that when you stepped up and you were racing against the elites, do you think that made the step up a lot harder?
It definitely made it a lot harder, mainly for the difference in the times of the races. It wasn't as bad at your local level, because local level was about 40 minutes and the youth race was 30. But you got to the national and you could be racing to closer to the 50 minutes. So it was quite hard. I used to find that for the first 35, 40 minutes, I'd be okay. And those last 10 minutes, I'd really suffer and be like, oh, my legs hurt. I'm struggling with this distance. So I think that was hard. And also the fact you went from racing people just your age to suddenly, if you went to like a national race, you were racing potentially the national champion, like the yellow jersey series leader. So the field was a lot stronger. And for example, like racing abroad now, like when the juniors come, to try and fight that 80% rule, it's so hard because you're actually so much younger and less developed. So I think it's really great now that the junior girls have their own races in some situations, because it just provides that development opportunity. And also it's good for better for morale. They're getting to win races or come top 10 rather than trying to survive an 80% rule somewhere 20 places down the back.
Definitely. On the road as a junior, you spent some time out in the Netherlands racing Junior Aston Tour. How did you find these international experiences on the road?
So yeah, I think Aston's one like a really cool event, and one that if it's still on, I'd very much encourage people to do. So it's very much set up as like a mini big grand tour for like people who are obviously a lot younger. So in these stages, they'd close the road. So you'd have a completely closed road stage, but obviously a bit more youth distances. So I think the road race stage was 50 miles or like 80 kilometers. So it was a lot shorter, obviously still a big race for someone that age, but a lot more reasonable. And it was just such a cool atmosphere because you were there, you felt very professional. There was like this athlete village where all the other athletes were and all the other cyclists. And you actually got to like spend some time. So in one year, I think that year you're on about, I happened to be parked next to a Brit, or like in a tent next to a British person called Harry. And by the end of the week, we were like really good friends. We had like a little barbecue together. There's, I think, a picture of us in our Aston jerseys somewhere afterwards the event, which it's just such a nice event. And I think I did all right in this event. I wasn't winning, but I was doing all right. I was trying to fight for positions and time. And I think it was just so cool because you got to feel like, even if maybe you weren't going to make it to professional level, like what the life of a professional might be like. And that was a lot of fun.
Then when the cross season came, you moved up to under 23 and finished fourth under 23 at the first national trophy in Derby. How did you find this move up to under 23?
So I think because, as we were saying, in my situation as a junior, I was already racing in the elite race. It didn't feel like a massive step up. The only thing that I'd lost was the chance of like a junior podium, because like whilst they were all raced together, there were junior under 23 and elite women podiums. So suddenly I was trying to fight girls now who were 4 years older for that podium, which in my first few years was very hard because the level of under 23 rides in Britain is insane at the moment. But it didn't actually feel that hard just because I'd had to do it already.
At the end of 2018, you went to Belgium to race a night race in Degem. How different was it racing in Europe in the dark?
Oh, it's so, so different to anything in Britain. If you've heard people who went out to race it this year, everyone will just tell you that the atmosphere at Degem is so different to anything else, and it's so cool. Because you're at night, I think we get bigger crowds because our people aren't working, they're freer, they're like, oh, I can go do something in the morning and still go watch this bike race in the evening. So the crowds are massive. Like the whole course, the whole way around is just lined with spectators. Like it's a lot different because you'll find obviously riders normally wear glasses. You'll see some of them just not wear glasses. Some go to clear lenses. And it's like your body's trying to adapt, because normally internationally, the race is always about 1:40 for the women. And I think it's like 3 o'clock for the men. Whereas all of a sudden you're racing at 7 o'clock at night. There's things like my eating schedule changes. Normally I'd eat about 11 o'clock. Suddenly I'm eating at 5 o'clock for a 7 o'clock race. And it's other things like normally on race day, your whole day is the race. In the morning, you'd wake up, you'd go to the race, you'd do the race, you'd go home and clean up. Suddenly you've got all morning and it's like, what do I do? Do I do something? Do I have to rest up all day? So your whole race routine is actually shifted. But don't get me wrong, it's a lot of fun and it's definitely worth it sorting out all the faff of changing your race day schedule.
At National Champs in Gravesend, you were ninth elite and fifth under 23. That really shows how strongly under 23 field was at that time.
Yeah, I think it's been pretty consistent for the last few years, just how strong our under 23 field is. In that year particularly, like I was really pleased, but coming in top 10, yet still being only fifth under 23, I say only, it's still a pretty decent result. And I was very happy with it at the time. But to have five in the top nine was ridiculous. And if you like look at it this weekend at Clanfield and Cycle Park, for Clanfield, all the top three were under 23s, which is really cool to say. And like the potential British cycling has for our future like cross riders is really impressive at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Like, obviously, with the girls that are coming up in my category as well, they're so strong. And in the juniors, like Kat Ferguson and Imogen Wolf and those kind of riders really coming strong. I think it's really exciting with the girls in the UK at the moment.
Definitely really exciting. I think, obviously, we've got a lot of potential. It's also nice to see the numbers we're getting at the moment. Yeah. Back when I was a junior, we probably had 5 to 10 juniors in the race. these days, I remember at Derby, I think it was close to 50 junior girls, which was just really, really nice to see.
You did some road races over the summer and got multiple podiums and wins. Did you enjoy doing some road racing in your cross off season?
Yeah, it's quite nice. I always say that my road season is like preparing for my cross season, which to most road races is really quite funny. But I really enjoyed it, particularly, I fancy that's 2019 year. It was just really nice, and it gave me a lot of like a confidence boost to be doing well on the road as well. I really like crits in particular. So I found road races are quite long, whereas crits match up for cross race quite well because they're very similar in length. And doing well in those gave me a lot of motivation and encouragement for my cross season.
You and your Impella teammates raced the Mountain Bike Mayhem that summer as well. You won by 4 laps. How was it to do this fun race with your teammates?
Oh, but it was honestly so good for like a team atmosphere and team building. It's something I'd always wanted to do because my dad did Mountain Mayhem when I was like getting into cycling. And I turned around at this point, bear in mind I barely rode a bike, hadn't raced, and was like, I'm going to win this one day. Why I thought at that point I was going to win, I don't know. But I always had it in my head that I then wanted to go and do it. And my Impella teammates were obviously really, really strong and good riders, particularly Kate Eady, who's come from a mountain bike background. And we just knew that we could win. And I think the whole team was so dialed and ready to do it. And it was just so great. And the feeling we got like the whole way through, it was like, wow, this is so much fun. And like we were doing it as a team. And I think that's the difference in like road racing and cross racing. Yes, you're kind of a team, but one person wins. Whereas in this, we all won together, which I think was really, really nice.
At the start of the 2019-2020 cross season, you travelled out to China to do some cross races. Can you tell me about that experience?
Oh, that was such an insane experience. And I think it's something I'm very glad I did. And I think if anyone's got the opportunity to do it, definitely do it. But wow. So I happened to have a friend, also had a friend. So it's very much like who you knew at this point. Anyone could enter it though, who was doing it. But they needed some riders because they wanted their brother to be to go and experience it. So each team had to have two riders and a team manager. The brother didn't ride a bike, so he had to play team manager, but he needed some riders to manage. I mean, my friend was like, we could go. Well, we'll come to China and do some bike races. So then it was like sorting it out. And when you got there, you had to fly to Beijing, despite the fact the races were 8 hours away from Beijing. So you then had to get an 8-hour bus to where the races were. So there's a lot of long, long bus rides, which, don't get me wrong, were tiring. But then you got to do these two, I think they were C1 races, which meant they were like lots of points. Prize money was very big. It was just so insane because you had riders from everywhere who'd also been invited to do this event. And then like they put in these events that like, were like trying to show you the culture they had. So there was one where they had like a massive stage and they had lots of dancers, lots of performances. Had a massive fire, they roasted some food and like made us all join in these dances, which was quite funny seeing all these cyclocross riders being like, I'm racing tomorrow at 9 o'clock and you're making me dance around a campfire. But it was really cool. Some things, and you got to see how different the culture in China was as well, which I found was really interesting.
After racing the first three rounds of the national trophy and getting overall top 10 in Irvine, you went out to Belgium to race Koppenberg Cross and the Super Prestige in Rudewoude. What were both of these races like?
So these are two very fun races, very different reasons. I'm going to admit, I enjoyed Rudewoude a lot more than the Koppenberg at this point, because obviously the Koppenberg's such a tough race. Like everyone just thinks it's that one big climb, the cobbles climb the Koppenberg, but the rest of the course is up, down. So even when you're off the road, it's incredibly hard. And I think I struggled a bit with just how hard it was at that point. Like I had a lot of fun. It was really nice to go out with my Impala teammates, but it was a lot. It was really, really hard. I think I was thankful to have the day off in between the two. And then Rudewoude was such a different course because it's mostly flat, but it has some banks. It's a lot faster. And I think it suited me a lot more at that point, and I just absolutely loved it. Like it felt like proper Belgian cross racing, even though all of them are, and Koppenberg arguably is one of the most famous Belgian cross races. But the atmosphere, as soon as you go to race abroad in these big races, particularly if you've got the big names on the start list, the atmosphere is just crazy. The fans go wild. It's packed all around the course. And whilst we are starting to see a lot more spectators in England, you just don't get to that level yet.
Yeah, it always looks like absolutely crazy in both the women's and the men's race, but especially when you've got the big riders in the men's race as well.
Yeah.
Do you, after you race, do you watch the men race after you, or are you sorting yourself out?
It normally depends. So if I have a race the day after, I'll just look after myself, keep calm, keep rested. If I've got a couple of days off before I'm racing again, it's just really nice to actually watch the race because you get to cheer on your teammates and also watch the lines the elite men were taking, go, oh, so that's how they rode that. And they also go, they managed to ride that? I thought that was impossible.
The last national trophy round was Pembrey, where you got your first elite national podium. Talk me through the race.
Wow. So I think there's a lot more to this than I think a lot of people might realise. So my preparation for this race was absolutely shocking. So unfortunately, my grandma passed away on the Friday and the race was on the Sunday. So we travelled up on the Friday, my dad told me. And so obviously there was a lot of tears, a lot of crying, like a bit of breakdown. And then like, I was like, well, if I want to race this weekend, I kind of need to not think about it too much. So I kind of bottled it down a bit. But because obviously it happened, it was such a big event, my dad was just doing whatever he could to calm me down. So like, I think we went out and had like a takeaway the night before the race, had pancakes for breakfast the morning of the race. So we were just doing things that I thought were fun to try and take my mind off it. And I think because it almost happened, I wasn't thinking, like, obviously I was thinking about the race and trying not to think about it, but it was obviously there at the back. So then when I actually raced, I think I was just so almost focused because I didn't have anything else to focus on. And my start, I had a really, really good start. So I'd never actually been on the front row. I think I happened to be on the front row at this one, sort of flying start. And then I managed to like carry that lead past the pits the first time. And then Fionn James, who inevitably won the race, went past me. And then I think I caught up Sophie Thackeray. We had a little bit of battle for a bit. But because at this point the gap had been made so big, I managed to hold on to the third. And I think in my head, I was just telling myself, just hold on, just hold on, just hold on. I know I blew up massively in the last lap. I'd like just absolutely gone at this point. But I'm like, come on, you just have to hold on. You just have to hold on. You get this elite podium. And I think that was like motivating me the whole way through. And I think part of it after what happened on the Friday was also pushing me on. It's why I think there's quite a few photos of me after the race just absolutely sobbing. And I think people thought it was like, oh, she's really happy, she's podiumed. And I think that was the moment it all sunk in. It was like, well, I've done this for her. And I'd like actually took time to think about it. And it was just a very emotional finish to a race.
It must have meant even more to you to get, although that sad event, to have done that and sort of felt like it was for her.
Yeah, I think it is always going to mean a lot to me. And I think it being my first podium means I'm never going to forget it for both reasons. But I think it's quite nice because like, I always think about her when I think about that race.
Oh, that's really nice. You started 2020 with the win on New Year's Day and then you raced national champs, finishing 12th overall. Not long after that, COVID hit and we were in lockdown. How did you find lockdown?
I think I actually went quite motivated into lockdown because normally I'd go cross season, road season. It actually made me take a step back from my racing and go, you can ride your bike, you just can't race it. So I actually spent a lot of time doing a lot of training. I actually got time to really do a lot of like endurance miles in a build phase, which I normally skip because I'd go straight from cross doing short intense interval sessions into racing. So I needed to be race fit the whole time. I was like, ah, I can actually build up this nice endurance now, which was really good because I actually saw a lot of progression when I managed to do that. I think I was quite motivated. I think I kept having this idea that I'd be racing again soon, I'd see my friends again soon. And so that motivated me through, even though obviously it ended up being quite a while before we were back racing again.
When time for cross season came, things were a bit different because of COVID restrictions. Did you manage to get some races in?
Yeah, so I think I did 4 or 5 cross races that year, which for a lot of people is a lot more, so I'm not going to complain at all. I think I did the Yorkshire, I think it was, that put on a league, which was quite cool because there was me, Amira Mellor and Sophie Thackeray racing week in, week out, and it got really competitive between the three of us, which was quite nice. And then there was the national trophy. I think we had one national trophy that year, which obviously, well, for me, didn't go quite as well, but it was still nice to be able to have that event to race at.
In spring 2021, you announced that you were joining Spectra Wiggle powered by Vitus. How did this come about?
So quite funnily, the team manager at the time messaged me on Instagram and was just like, do you fancy a chat? There wasn't much about this team at the moment, so no one really knew what was happening. I think it was kept quite on the low for this point. But I spoke to my dad and he was like, you have to always say yes. You don't know what this man's about to offer you. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll have a chat with him. And I'm very glad that I did.
And how did you feel the first time that you raced in the team kit?
It was really weird because I'd raced for Impella for 6 years. So to suddenly be wearing different kit, it was like, are people going to recognize me? It felt like I had a new identity almost, even though obviously I had the kit that I was racing in didn't define me. It was like, oh, this is really, really weird because I've been racing in Impella kit for so long. But it was also quite nice to step out and do something different and start racing for this new team.
In May, you raced a 3 hour long cross race, taking the win. Was it tougher than you expected it to be?
Kind of. I think obviously you expect it to be really, really tough. So there's that part of it. I think it was very different to a normal cross race because on a cross race, you kind of just race. Whereas for this one, because it was 3 hours, I'd spoken to like my parents and were like, we need a nutrition strategy because I can't race at that level 3 hours and not eat anything. I think it was like gel every half an hour. There was a bottle feed zone, so I took a bottle every hour. So that, like, you had that to factor in. So there was like a new element that you had to think about in like a normal cross race. But it was just so much fun because we hadn't done much racing in the winter with COVID. I was just so happy to be racing my cross bike again.
On the road, you raced the Sickle Classic for the first time. Can you tell me about the race?
Oh, the Sickle is such a cool race. Not one I have much luck with, however, but a really cool race. So it happens to only be about 40-minute drive and about an hour and a half ride from where I live. So it feels like one of my local national road races. And it's one of those races I'd always wanted to do. I'd ridden out to watch it a few times. I was like, oh, I was really excited to do it. I had like a decent start, was in the group. And there's the first sector, which has like the cobbles or like stony sections and the gravel. And I punctured on the first section. So it was straight away trying to get a spare wheel. Managed to like get in a group and then just tried to like hold on. So I really, really wanted to finish in the first year I did it. So I was just trying to hold on for the time cut and get around this race, which luckily I just managed to do.
After racing some more crits, you raced the Tour Series. Did you enjoy these races?
Oh, I love the Tour Series. It was one race that year. It's the Tour Series. I'd always watched it on TV when I was younger, always really wanted to do it. So it was really cool to finally be able to do it. And because that year there were only 3 races so close together, we went and did it all as a team, traveled together, supported each other, did like activities like mini golf on the rest days. So it's just one of like, I think it's one of my favorite memory from the road season that year, because it was such a nice little team event. There was lots of bonding and also races, which was so much fun to do, especially because the fact that these ones are televised races and there aren't many UK televised races.
Yeah, it's really good actually to be able to find sort of good YouTube links to be able to watch the Tour Series, because yeah, it's a British race and you don't really get to see them very often.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to finally see some of our British races on TV.
I understand that you're doing some blogging about your races in 2021. When did you start this?
So I think I started this in 2020. I think it was 2020, kind of during like the lockdown phase or coming out of the lockdown phase. It kind of gave me something else to do because yes, I had my uni work and I had cycling and I was like struggling to find hobbies to fill the time. And I quite enjoyed being a bit more creative with my writing rather than back in English in school where it was like write about this book. So it was kind of like a fun kind of creative outlet where I could tell who I was feeling. Also, part of me wanted to give out like some of my experiences to like younger female cyclists and tell them what I'd been doing as well.
The first cross national trophy was in Derby. How did you feel to be back racing cross nationals and to get fifth?
Yeah, so I think it was really cool, especially because this, I think, this was the first like big cross race I did for the new team. So it was really cool to be back racing, and I think it's really nice because Derby's my home trophy. So it's always really nice for me to start the season somewhere local where I've got friends, family watching. This is a really fun event, to be honest.
At round 2 in Milnthorpe, you got second and first and 23. You must have been really pleased with that.
Oh, I was over the moon with this. I think there's a video of me afterwards somewhere, like hugging my parents, like borderline crying because I was happy with this one. But it was also quite nice because my teammate at the time, Amira Mella, had won. So we'd got like a team 1-2 and it was just such a happy feeling.
You went to Ireland to race Veg Cross where you got second. And then you went to Belgium and raced 9 top races, including 3 World Cups. What were some of your highlights from that time racing abroad?
So I think one of them is obviously Ireland, because yet again, me and Amira got a 1-2, which is obviously always like a lot of fun. It was also my first time going to Ireland, so that was quite fun. And I think probably the other one was Ardoia. I've heard various pronunciations. Amira managed to come third and I came 9th. And it was my first top 10 in Belgium in a UCI race. So that was really fun and really cool.
When you came back to the UK, you did a double race weekend of Clanfield Cross and Gravesend National Trophy. 4th at Clanfield and 5th at Gravesend. Were you pleased with how that weekend went?
Yeah, I think my happiest takeaway from that weekend was the under-23 podium at Cycle Park. I think for the Saturday race at Clanfield, Vita sponsored that. And I think we were kind of both, me and Amira, trying to push for a podium, which obviously I just missed out on. But like there were still really good results and the fields for those weekends were so strong. Mm. So I think we had like current national champ at the time, Hattie Harden, racing on Saturday. And on Sunday, we had Annie Last, who'd come back to some incredible form. So yeah, they were really stacked fields and I was pretty happy, to be honest.
In December, you did another trip to Europe. First, you raced the Rufen World Cup in the Netherlands. How was that experience?
So that one was a really weird one because at this point, the Netherlands had gone back into like a lockdown. So they could only have elite sports. So we had no spectators. So I'm doing the other Belgian races with the packed crowds. It was so weird to be going around and hearing nobody, seeing nobody. But it's also a really different course. It's quite dry. And for December, you don't see many dry races. So it was dry and super fast. So I think I was actually riding around in a bunch of about 5 girls. But it was really cool. I think that was my best World Cup result that year. So it was a pretty happy day for me.
Yeah, it's weird because like sometimes there's, when I'm doing races, there's parts of a course where there's just no one watching. It's just the sound of me and other riders breathing. And it's really weird because you don't realise how much hearing other noise around you sort of like pushes you on.
Yeah, crowds can be really motivating and sometimes it's almost demoralizing going, oh wow, I'm breathing really heavy, like maybe I'm a bit tired than I think I am.
Next was Namur, known for its techie descents and tough cambers. How did you find that course?
Oh, I absolutely loved the course. I think I always say it's borderline on what's allowed to be a cross course because it is very tricky and very infamous for those descents. I think I did all right. Like, there are obviously quite tricky parts to the course. I think I managed to ride like most of the descents, I think, tentatively. Probably not the fastest rider on the course, but I like managed to do it, which for me was like quite a big win. Yeah, I think my result for that one was okay, but in what we call the cursed period or the Christmas period, there's so many riders because people aren't at work because it's Christmas, so all the riders come together. So I think the field size for that was absolutely massive. I think I started way down the back because of gridding positions. But it was just such a cool experience. And I was really glad I got to ride that course because it is so famous.
After Christmas, you raced the Dendermonde World Cup and the Super Prestige in Houston Zolder. What were these races like?
Dendermonde is the biggest mudfest I've ever seen. If you think Crawley National Champs was bad, you should have seen Dendermonde. It was absolutely hideous. It was probably one of those ones where I was kind of questioned, do I actually enjoy this? Is this fun? I actually turned around to Amira, my teammate at the start, and was like, I am doing 5 laps. If the leaders do 5 laps, I'm doing 5 laps. If the leaders do 6 laps, I'm stopping at 5 laps. Because I was just like, I'm not sure I enjoy this course, but the leaders did 5 laps and I did 5 laps. I actually started off all right, died towards the back end of the race, but I think I had an acceptable result because it was still my first year doing World Cups, so I was relatively happy with it. And then Zolder was like a complete contrast, bone dry, sand, super fast on a lot of road. So it was really weird to do the 2 day after each other because they were just completely different courses. And I think going from all that mud, I was quite glad to see a drier course and one that was while still hard because of how fast it was, a lot easier because there was a lot less mud. It's not about technicals older, even though like there are small parts of the course that look technical, but I think it was a lot of fun. I did really enjoy racing that one.
And at the start of 2022, it was the national champs in Crawley, which, as you mentioned, was very muddy. Did you enjoy this type of course, or do you prefer a faster, drier course?
I see, it just depends. I always say, oh, I prefer the mud. I love the mud. The mud's great. And then you get muddy course after muddy course and muddy course. You're like, you know what? I'd fancy a drier course that might be a bit easier on the legs today. But no, I think I do quite enjoy the muddy courses. I think my favourite is, you know, when it's kind of slippy mud, where it's not quite a big bog, it doesn't all stick to your bike, but it is muddy. So you're getting a little bit dirty. You're sliding all over the place, but not carrying an extra 10 kilos because your bike's picked up that much mud.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because at the start of seasons, I'm always saying, oh, when's the mud coming? But it's the best ones when you're sort of quick on off the bike, but it's not a running race, basically.
Yeah, they're my favourite races too.
The final national trophy round was at Broughton Hall, where you finished second under 23 and third overall. This meant you were third in the under 23 series. Were you pleased with your national trophy results that season?
Yeah, I was really happy with my national trophy. I think I missed two rounds in the end. So to actually still be able to make it on the under 23 podium, I was like absolutely over the moon with that. Yeah, I think I'd gone in with high expectations for that season. And I think I'd relatively met them, like managing to win a round in the under 23 category and constantly hitting that podium. I was really pleased with.
You did the first round of the National Mountain Bike XC Series in Tong, coming away with fifth. Would you like to do more mountain bike racing in the future?
Yeah, I'm definitely keen to do more mountain biking. It's kind of funny because I'd actually done mountain biking this season to improve my cross riding, which sounds funny. But I used to really suffer on the last lap of a cross race and with like the more technical descent kind of elements. And it was like, I was encouraged to do mountain biking because it was longer and includes more descents and more technical elements. So I can improve my skills and my endurance. And I think it paid off. And it was also a lot of fun to do more off-road in the summer as well.
During the summer, you did quite a few road races, including the Tour Series. What were some of your highlights from your road season?
I think my highlights from the road season was possibly the Tour Series, particularly, I want to say it was round four, where our team managed to finish first on the night. And it was just such a cool experience to do with my team and like have everyone on the podium. We had like such high team morale at this point, and it was really, really nice. And I think other than that, it's probably the National Crit Series. Again, these are like actually televised events, so it's really nice to actually be able to like have my friends at home watch my races and like push me to do really well. And I think I'd started to like creep into the top 15, get close to that top 10 in the National Crit Series. And I think that was like really good for like my self-motivation. And I just really enjoyed them.
In June, you finished your degree at Loughborough University. What were you studying and how did you manage it all around training, racing, and obviously the COVID pandemic?
So I studied natural sciences, which is kind of, for my pathway, a combination of biology, chemistry, and a bit of maths and statistics. So it was very, very hard to manage. Like, people ask me how I did it, and sometimes I'm like, not sure. I think, like, it's hard enough, and then having the pandemic as well. But in places, having COVID almost made it a little bit easier, because lecturers became a lot more adept to having like recorded lectures, having lectures online so you could do them at home, or say for me, I could do it while I was racing out in Europe. So I could be in Belgium and still be attending my lectures online, which was actually quite helpful. And like my lectures were very accommodating to that.
So with what you've studied, do you plan to, when you finish racing, go into a job that involves that, or do you want to do something to do with cycling?
So my degree is quite broad, as I say, like it covers multi-disciplines. So I kind of did that on purpose because I'm not super sure what I want to do as like a career. Obviously, like, it'd be dreamy if I could do it, like even in cycling as like the supporting and DS side of things, or support systems, or even like another sport, because I really do love sport. But as I said, like as a kid, I did a lot more sports than just cycling. So obviously, if I could find a role that suited me in sport, I'd be over the moon. But I tried to keep as many doors open as possible so my career can take me wherever it goes.
Coming into the cross season, what were your plans? Was it to race as much in Europe as possible and gain the most experience as possible?
Yes, I feel like what I've done is actually somehow managed to stick pretty close to the plan. Back a while ago, I always said that I'd do school, I'd do uni, and then I'd move to Belgium and race my bike. Obviously, it's a lot harder than these days to move to Belgium. But by then, with that, plan to do as much cross racing as I could, make like the trips to Europe, follow the World Cup series. I very much wanted this season to do quite a lot of the World Cups. So I think I very much chased that goal down. And as you can probably see, I did a lot of racing in Europe.
Do the rules because of Brexit make going to Europe and planning your races a lot more difficult?
For me, it's made it a little bit more difficult. So as I said, like I couldn't just up and move to Belgium because it's really hard to get residency or a visa to stay there long term. So I've had to like travel forward and backwards. With the races I wanted to, it's just about worked out with my 90 days. So you get 90 days and 180 rolling days. So I've had to like keep an eye on how many days I've spent. But it actually meant my family wanted to go on holiday like a month before the season started as a family holiday, which was really nice and really fun. But I had to be like, we can't go to Europe because I just couldn't afford the extra days away at that point in the season. So I think that was probably the biggest thing I've had to change.
Your season started in the Netherlands, followed by two exact cross races in Belgium. Were you happy with your start to the season?
I think so. The first one I did was the Kleeberg Cross in the Netherlands and I want to say Polder Cross in the exact cross season. I went into these with very low expectations because at this point, all I'd done was a couple of West Midlands local races. And then I came back with top 10 and top 15, which I was absolutely over the moon with. I think I came back, I was like, yes, this is great. My season's going really well. And I was like really happy because I very much believe that there's progress been made and that I can get stronger. So I was really happy with those. Then the second round of the exact cross season we did, it didn't go quite as well. I had like a few issues because we had like new equipment and I was trying to get used to stuff. And then like mud was just quite difficult because the first two were very dry races and this one was quite a muddy one. I was like, ah, this isn't going quite as well as I planned. But like it was still a lot of fun and I was like really glad that I got to have that experience.
At the first round of the National Trophy in Derby, you finished third. As you've mentioned before, Derby's your local race. Did it mean a lot more to you to get a podium there?
Yeah, so I think I've always really wanted to do well at Derby because, as I say, I have friends and family who come to watch it. So it was one of those ones I was like, oh, I'd really like to do well at, and I'd always push to. But I think because I've always had my heart set on doing well there, I think sometimes it's played with my head and I've actually not done as well because I put too much pressure on myself. So to finally actually hit the podium, like the elite podium at Derby, I was like, oh yes, I've finally done it. I think that was quite a happy moment for me.
Ride for Charlie supported you to go out to Tabor for the first World Cup of the season. In the days leading up to the race, you were hit by a car. Can you tell me about this and how you felt to just be able to get onto the start line of the race?
So yeah, so I've spoken to some friends about this. It's quite a scary experience. I was in Loughborough with my friends still and went out for a ride. I was literally 8 minutes away from where I started and ended out coming around a roundabout. I was on the roundabout and had gone round and a car just came straight out at me. I don't know whether they thought in the other lane. And as it hit me, I kind of slid along the ground, was very, very close to the bumper of the car. And at that moment, I was like, this is it. Luckily, obviously, it isn't. I'm still here talking to everyone today. But I think that was really scary and I was shook up for quite a while. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and at the point where it happened, well, we got checked out at the hospital. They told me I was relatively okay. We just checked for concussion risk. But I was, like, really scared at this point of whether I'd be able to actually race. Mm-hmm. And also at this point, from like, I still actually haven't ridden on the road in the UK since. So, like, I think that's taken a big confidence knock. But so the big fight was really, can we go? When I spoke to the doctors, they were like, in theory, yes, as long as nothing flares up, it doesn't look like you have concussion, you don't get headaches, you don't throw up, it should be absolutely fine. I don't think I actually rode my bike until we got to Tabor, and that the day before we did cross recce and went, yeah, I think I'm okay, I think I can do this. And it was just such a relief to actually be able to race, because obviously we'd already funded this trip. And if I hadn't wanted to go, it would be another insurance claim on getting the money back for the trip and whatever else. I think I was just really happy to be able to stand there on the start line and race.
In Rudewater, you rolled a tub, and then at Koppenberg Cross, you came away with a top 15 finish. Did this result at Koppenberg seem even better after the bad luck in Rudewater?
Yeah, I think I was a lot happier after that good result. I think because it, like, not necessarily knocked my confidence, but I'd, like, suddenly was like, oh, not doing as well, was a bit scared I wouldn't then do as well. So to then actually get that really good result at the Koppenberg, especially because the Koppenberg is a race that, as I said earlier, I find it, like, really, really tough. So I don't expect to do well at it. So to get top 15 at the Koppenberg, I was absolutely over the moon, particularly after the bad luck I had, and it suddenly almost, like, wiped it clean. I'd almost forgotten about rolling a tub and whatever had happened. I was like, oh, I'm on form, I'm doing fine again.
It was quite good to see there were quite a few Brits that did well in that race as well, especially with the super strong field there.
Yeah, I think we had, like, I don't know, four of us in the top 15. So that was really cool to actually have that many of us up there fighting for results.
The next World Cup was in the Netherlands, Bexarbergen, and then you said in your Instagram that your legs and head weren't really there. Was it good to know that you had another race in less than a week and another opportunity to get a result?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, that one, like, it was weird because I think it's still an okay result, but I think I just kept expecting more from myself. I wasn't necessarily putting any pressure there, but I think I just really wanted to do well. But it was quite a relief to know that I had races next weekend, so, like, I had more chances to do well and prove myself. So that made it a bit easier.
Yeah, I think that's what's good about cross, that there's always another race.
Yeah, you don't have to wait long. You can go again next weekend and be like, right, I'm going to wipe the slate clean and I'm going to do better this week.
The next World Cup was in Holst. You DNF'd. When we watch it on TV at home, we can see how challenging the course is. Are the descents even steeper in real life?
I think some of them are. I think the one after you go underneath the windmill, like, I don't know, it looks steep on TV, but you see it in real life and you're like, oh, wow, I have to go down that. So, yeah, it's a really tricky course. It's a lot of fun, but, like, you have to be very much on the ball for it. And I actually found out later, I'm like, I broke my finger the day before Holst. And with that, and also I couldn't clip in, I was like, these descents are too scary to not be clipped into my bike to do. So we just thought we'd call it quits sooner rather than later before I hurt myself even more.
When you say the one after the windmill, do you mean the one that you go down and then turn left?
Yeah, the big one where you, like, turn left in front of the lake.
Yeah, the camera's at the bottom and it looks like the bank's almost vertical and it looks super long as well. And I'm just thinking, how are people going down that on a cross bike and not falling off? I mean, the skill of those women and the men that are at the top of the field just taking themselves down that is just insane. And it's, you as well, just did you ride all of the stuff that you wanted to in practice?
Yeah, so I managed to ride, like, all the descents, definitely not as fast as the front of the field. Like, when they just look like they've let go of the brakes and gone down it, I'm like, okay, so that's what I need to get faster. But it is quite scary. I think you almost have to, like, take your brain out of gear and just do it. And I think that's one thing. When people practice, they, like, all stand at the top and look over the edge, and I'm like, right, you're convincing yourself out of this, you have to just ride it. Because if you try and do that, then you panic yourself about it. Whereas when you just ride it, you go, okay, yes, that is rideable, or okay, maybe I can't ride that.
Yeah, I think sometimes when people are all stood around it, and if you stop and you're sort of like, ooh, then you convince yourself that, because everyone else is a bit nervous about it, that you can't do it either. So I agree with you about the fact, just sort of go down it and then see how it is.
Yeah, it definitely makes it 10 times worse to stand at the top and just stare at it, because you're helping no one at that point.
After the next few World Cups in Antwerp, Dublin, and then Val de Soleil, which were all in different countries, you then raced four races over the Christmas and New Year period. What was it like doing all of these races in different places across Europe?
Oh, it's been so, so cool to travel Europe this year. Like I've said to people, if I take one thing away from this year, it's I've got to travel. I'd say we went to Ireland, went to, like, Belgium, we've been to Netherlands and Italy. So we've really got to see quite a lot of the world. And on trips like that, so for example, Val d'Isole, I actually like stayed there for 4 days. We did like saw the village, did some skiing, like really made a trip out of it. Like, okay, yes, the main focus was the bike race, but it's really nice to do other things. And for example, Tabor, I spent the day in Prague looking around and actually getting to see some of the country, rather than just being like, right, I'm doing a bike race, I'm going to see a field where I do a bike race and go home. Obviously it does add a bit of stress onto your season, because you think traveling around for the national series is a lot of traveling, suddenly you've got 6 plane trips up and down the country and the world, so it adds on a little bit of stress in that respect, but it is a lot of fun as long as obviously that's what you want to be doing.
How do you plan all of your races in before the season starts? Do you plan how many days you're going to spend in each place?
Yeah, so start of the season, I made a massive Excel spreadsheet, put in all the UCI races that were ever anywhere, and then went basically like, wait, don't want to do that one. And we cut out the ones I knew I definitely didn't want to do, and was left with all the ones I might want to do. And then worked out how many days in that in Europe, and also worked out which ones I could do in block. So be like, I could do all these 4 races and stay there for 7 days, or I could do 3 races, stay for 5 days. For example, in November, I actually stayed in Belgium for like the whole month, just because there was a World Cup every weekend and another race on the Saturday. So it kind of made sense to stay rather than travel to and from. I think the spreadsheets are a good idea for anyone trying to organise a season, because you can then add extra tabs. So from that one big spreadsheet, I then managed to then plan block by block. And I think that worked quite well.
Who do you stay with, or do you just go on your own?
So I'm most of the races this year I've been to with my boyfriend. Luckily, he's been very supportive, and has like pitted for me at the races, done like swanning duties on the start line. Has luckily been the chauffeur, because we've had to hire cars in countries like the Prague and Tabor and Italy. I very much do not want to drive abroad. Luckily, he's been very willing to, so that's been quite nice. And one of my friends and mechanics called Johan, I stay with in Belgium. And he's been really supportive, pitted for me at all the races in Belgium, and has made my season about 10 times easier.
So most recently, you raced Clanfield Cross back in the UK. And this weekend, we have the National Champs. Will that be the last race of your season?
So it probably won't be the last race of my season. I was very much going to race this weekend and make the decision whether I wanted to carry it on. I'm very much hoping to do some racing in February in Belgium. There's a couple more races, and just tie up my season there, hopefully finish it on a high note before we obviously pack up and then prepare for next season. Obviously national champs will be a lot of fun, so yeah.
What are your hopes for champs?
I think like everyone obviously always hopes like a top 3. I think that's where you have to want to do really well, so obviously aiming for that podium would be really cool. I think I'd probably be happy with a top 5, but top, like the podium is like the main aim.
Do you like the venue at Milford?
Yeah, I think it's a really, really good venue, to be honest. So I think I've raced it in the dry, in the super boggy mud and slippy mud. And all 3 times it has been a really good event. So credit to the organisers there. They've done a good job, and they've got a course that stands up to all conditions, which I think is really hard to do. So fair play to them.
We're in January of 2023. What are your goals for the rest of the year?
Well, the rest of this cross season, there isn't a lot left. So national champs is probably the last big goal. And then just to round out the season on a high note, hopefully in Belgium. Then other than that, it'll be all focused on the next cross season for the 2023-24 season. Which is crazy to say now, we've switched years. It's like, oh wow, we're aiming for 2024 season. So the focus will switch to that. I'll probably be doing a bit of road racing, probably once again focusing on the National Crit Series. I'd like to do well in Sickle, but as I say, it's kind of potluck on whether you're getting a puncture there or not.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
So you asked me 5 years ago, I had a 5-year plan and I'm currently at the end of it. So at this point, I'm not really sure. Definitely still be involved with bikes, whether it's focusing on the national level. I'd really like to still be racing internationally and abroad, but we'll see what happens. But I may be settled down more of a normal 9-to-5 stable job, although I cannot personally picture myself sitting in a normal office job. So it'll probably be something a bit different to that. But yeah, possibly a job, doing the national series, focus on that, or hopefully racing internationally and seeing me there.
What's your favourite UK course?
I feel like I'm very biased on always saying it's Derby, because obviously Impala, which is the team I used to ride for, organised it. but I probably do quite like the Westmorland or Milnthorpe course, which national champs are on this year. So we've possibly got that one.
What's your favourite international course this season?
Despite the incident of having a rolled tub, I think it was Rue de Vorder. I think it's just such a fun course and it's got so much to it. I know it's not one of like the really, really big ones, but it's one I always come back from really happy and really enjoyed.
What's your favourite race you've ever done?
I thought about it. I obviously read your questions. And like, I find there's a few options for my favourite race ever. Because Mountain Mayhem was one of those races where I've always wanted to do this. And it was like such a cool thing to actually go and do it. And then like, I found myself seeing races like the Pembrey National Trophy when it was like my first like elite national podium. But I think that could have been because of the result rather than the course.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to say, but I think one of my best ever races that I think always stands by with me. So there's a national trophy that used to be a trophy in Abergavenny. And I think that was one of my standout races for me, like one I always think about, because I had an incident on the first lap and ended up in dead last and managed to like fight so hard through that field to move up to like the top 15. I think for me, that was like a really good race and I was really proud of it. So I think that's probably one that stood with me.
Abergavenny was the first national cross race that I'd been to watch, and I think at the time I thought it was like literally like a World Cup. It was crazy.
It was a big race.
It was such a cool place to have a race, and I met Tom Peacock and I was like, oh wow. It was really nice to go to a race like that when I was quite young, and I think to see the UK racing is super cool.
Yeah, I think it's a shame we don't have one there anymore. But it was quite a big one because so most of our national trophies are C2 races. And that one was a C1 race, which meant it was like a higher ranked, more points, more prize money, which probably attracted like a bigger field. But it was just such a cool race. It was such a cool venue.
Is there a race that you haven't done yet that you'd really like to do?
See, I feel like up until this year, like Val d'Isol was one of the ones I was like, oh, that'd be such a cool experience one to do. So to actually have done it now, I think there's very few like cross courses I haven't done. I always thought the World Champs in Ostend looked really cool. So I've done like quite a few now. Possibly that one, to be honest.
Do you think you'd ever want to do a bit of racing out in the US?
Yeah, I think so. I looked into it this year, but the problem is, so like last year there were 3 World Cups in the US, which made it more like viable to do. This year, but only being 2, it was a long way to go and quite expensive to do.
Yeah.
But like the racing scene in America, and I've watched like the videos on GCN, like they look absolutely insane. So I definitely like to try and get over there one day.
It's actually really good that GCN shows quite a lot of the US national races and that, because they look like exciting courses and always different every race.
Yeah, honestly, like it's great that like they show like more than just say your Belgian races. And I think actually getting to see the US races is quite nice because you get to see a different field. You see more different riders competing. It's actually quite interesting. And some of their courses look really good, I have to say.
It's a shame that on races that aren't World Cups, you don't get to have the tape along the bottom that says people's positions. Because when we're watching like Super Prestige and Exact Cross and stuff, and you're racing, we can't see where you are. Because if you're not in the top 8 or whatever, you don't really get your name mentioned at all, which I think is a shame.
Yes, I think it's because we have live timing at World Cups, which I imagine is expensive, so we don't get to see it at the other races. But even if they could just show us where everyone is, because they time everyone as they cross the finish line, it'd be really cool to see everyone, like even just the once a lap point as they cross the finish line, have that go along the bottom so you get an idea of where riders are.
Yeah, that would be really good, actually.
Yeah, it would.
Who's your favourite current rider?
Oh, so you go controversially. Well, in terms of cross riders, obviously you've got the Van der Poel, Van Aert. I was always on the side of Van der Poel, just for no apparent reason. I think everyone just picks one day and sticks with it for the rest of their life. I think my like favourite road rider is always, since I was pretty young, been Mark Cavendish.
Who's your favourite rider of all time?
See, I feel like there's not many options here, but Marianne Vos is just the superior cyclist ever. Like, there's not many things the woman hasn't won, in all fairness.
What's your advice for young riders?
I think, especially for like younger female riders, when you're just starting out, that to remember that not everyone peaks at 16. So if you're not winning the national series as an under 16, it's not the end of the world. you can develop later on. You might suddenly hit form at 18, maybe 22, maybe even older. So even if you're not winning now, to keep at it, because people develop at different times and your time might still come.
You've got 5 minutes before you head down to the start of a race. What's on your playlist to get you motivated?
My friends from Loughborough are really going to hate me for this, because when I was sat in the car before the Bexbergen World Cup, they were grilling me for this. But the song that is always on my playlist before a warm-up is Bet On It from High School Musical. I don't know why, but that song just, you know, provides some motivation.
Thanks for sharing your cycling life story with me, Sam.
No, thank you for having me. It's been really fun.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I really enjoy chatting to Zan, and it was great to hear her experiences racing both in the UK and internationally. Thanks for listening. See you on the bike.